141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of Scottish Premiership action. It's Rangers v Aberdeen as Philippe Clement looks to put crowd displeasure to one side and cut the gap at the top. It sits at 16 points after Celtic were held to a draw at Dundee, with Brendan Rodgers critical of his team's defending, and the Old Firm women's sides hold talks to join the English leagues. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight at some point in the very near future will be Marvin Bartley, and Cammy Bell is here already. What a night, Cammy. Always good when Rangers and Aberdeen meet anyway, and then you add everything into the mix for both sides.
Yeah, brilliant night ahead of us. I think Rangers again, another home match to try and put on a good performance. Well, we all know the unrest that's in and around the stadium at the moment, and Aberdeen, just been so long since I've had a win, so it's a massive game for them as well. So,
oh, wow. Here he is. Hi, Marvin. Nice of you to join us. Hope we're not keeping you from whatever else you were doing. That's it. You stick your car keys down in the desk as if we're not on live radio. You just bang them down there and you're right.
Good. I'm very well. I'm out of breath, Cam. You can keep
you
speaking.
Look any apologies? No.
Nah. I had to have a little bit of a jog. Oh, wow.
Look at this guy.
That was hard.
Anyway, you get back to what you were saying. He can join in 10 minutes when he's caught his breath.
No, big night tonight for Rangers. The fans will be expecting a huge performance, but also 3 points, continuing that form. Sunday was a little bit of a disappointment in the second half, but tonight will be a really intriguing game, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to back you tonight, right? Because seriously, I know I always slag your late coming. I was doing some work at Ibrox this afternoon. Ibrox is 6 miles max from here in Clydebank. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. 6 miles. It took me 55 minutes to go the 6 miles from Ibrox to here, and my head was gone.
I was 2.5 hours in the car.
From Livingston.
2.5 hours.
What's going on?
I was thinking, this can't be right with the navigation and this M74. Wow. Like, yeah. Wasn't great.
What's happening. But anyway, you're here now and plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, still trying to catch my breath. That extra weight I've put on since retiring, Gordon, hasn't helped. But yeah, no, like you said, a lot to look forward to. A massive game for Rangers, as they all are, obviously being the home team as well. But, you know, Aberdeen needs to try and kind of halt this run that they've been on. Been really, really poor from them. Is it 11 without a win? So yeah, they've been struggling, definitely. Obviously, the manager's been back to the transfer market, so it'd be interesting to see if both start tonight. But yeah, listen, they need a massive change, but there'll be pressure on Rangers again, and just see how the fans react as well after what happened last time.
And what a night last night. There was a danger at times of some of Celtic's victories becoming quite predictable and low-key, but not only did they not, you know, get a victory, it was just a brilliant game. So many talking points. Brendan Rodgers isn't happy.
Yeah, no, listen, it was a fantastic game, and probably when McCowan scores early on in the game, you're thinking it's going to go Celtic's way. How are Dundee going to react to it? And listen, they put up a real good show. They showed how good a team they are as well, and it was a brilliant advert for Scottish football. Some great performances. Again, Brendan Rodgers, listened to him, obviously digging out his defence a little bit, wasn't happy with the way they defended set pieces, said they were a little bit soft throughout the game as well. So, yeah, interesting comments.
Okay, 01419511025 is the number that you need. So, are you heading to Ibrox tonight? Hopefully you've left already, if Marvin's traffic update is anything to go by. But if you're on your way, you're in the car, you're walking down, you're heading for the underground, whatever, give us a call and let us know what you're thinking tonight in terms of the game itself and how important it is that Rangers win and make the gap 13. Who should play? Is there any specific team lineup suggestions you want to put across? All that sort of stuff. And then that other side of it, it's been such a weird week. We've been debating it all week about fans protesting, walking out, staying, booing, all that sort of stuff. What are you expecting tonight atmosphere wise? How do you think the Rangers fans are going to react? How will you react? And how do you think your fellow fans will? Any Aberdeen fans driving down and want to join in, would love to hear from you. First 11 games of the season, no defeats. Next 11 games of the season, no wins. It is a collapse of which the type. We've never really seen this before. The difference between the first 11 games and the next 11 games is remarkable. What a time and place this would be to try and get back on the winning run. Can you do it though tonight? Give us all your thoughts there. There's always that accusation, isn't there, that Aberdeen will raise their game for Rangers and all that sort of stuff. So give us all you've got, everything you're thinking ahead of the game at Ibrox, especially if you're heading along, not exclusively. If you've got the feet up and you're watching it on TV tonight, that's absolutely fine. But if you're heading along, do give us a call please on 01419511025. Last night, Celtic fans, what did you make of it? Because as Cammy says, there were times in the game and in the first half and you think Celtic would go on and win comfortably, and then far from it. It was Celtic that were scrambling around for a late equaliser. So is that okay? Is it all just take it in the chin, pretty relaxed, still 16 points, worst case scenario 13 points tonight? Is it not a big deal? Or are there signs there that things are starting to tail off a bit? Are there individual performers that you're not happy with? We always slag footballers and football managers for putting their hands over their mouths, don't we? Brendan Rodgers chose not to last night when he had a little dig at Austin Trusty's defending. Now everyone knows what they thought of it. That's how I feel about Marvin Bartley's beat the pundit performances sometimes. So again, what did you make of that side of it as well? Because it's not often managers in general or the Celtic manager so openly critical about individuals. So is that the right way to go about it? Have you got concerns over the defence or any other elements of the team? Or is it inevitable that there's going to be a big overreaction and you have to just take the positives from being, like I say, worst case scenario, 13 points ahead by the end of the evening? The transfer window very much open, and it now looks like an imminent move for Kieran Tierney could be back on for Celtic fans. So what do you make of that? We were speaking Lyle Cameron to Rangers last night. What are your thoughts there? Hearts have started letting some players go, and we've even got a story I didn't expect. The women's Old Firm team's in talks to jump ship and move down to England. So come on, so much to get through on 01419511025. Get your calls in right now, and we will start by setting the scene at Ibrox, 55 minutes away from here to be precise. And Gabriel has the lay of the land.
Yes, Gordon, good evening from Ibrox, where once again the eyes of Scottish football will be tuned into the stands. Everyone knows what happened at the weekend in the win over St Johnstone. It took you 55 minutes to get to work this evening. It took the Union Bears 55 minutes to leave the game at the weekend. Their walkout protest was against the running of the club. Thousands of others in the stadium booed their actions. Thousands of others stayed silent. Some from other places in the stadium did join them as well. So clearly, big divisions amongst the fan base at the moment, Gordon. Philippe Clement said after the game, once again, he was calling for unity. He was asking for the synergy between the support and the players to return. But we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, the attendance at the weekend was full. You'd expect it to be very similar again this evening. But the question, as you said, is about the atmosphere. Will the Union Bears sing? Will they not? In general, will it be flat? You'd expect all the supporters to back the team, but will there be further protests against the board and against the manager? Well, of course, there's a huge game on the pitch as well. At Rangers, 16 points off the pace, but they do have the chance to cut Celtic's lead down to just 13 after that 3-3 draw in Dundee last night. I think almost all Rangers fans would accept that their bid for the league title is likely over. Even most Rangers players would probably admit that deep down. But they want to create even further space between themselves and the European chasing pack behind them. They want to get as close to Celtic as possible. And of course, they want to avenge that game against Aberdeen, that fiery night at the end of October up at Pittodrie, where Jimmy Tillin's side were worthy winners. And back then, Tillin's team looked like they were real contenders at the top of the table. But as you say, no wins in 11 since then. What a drop-off it's been. They're down to fourth. They look like, at this rate, they're in a real fight for the top six. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. In terms of team news, Rangers injury problems starting to ease off a little bit. Captain James Tavernier and fellow defender Leon Balogun have been training on the grass this week. They're likely to be involved, but whether it's from the start or from the bench, we'll just have to wait and see. Aberdeen got plenty injury problems of themselves, but you've got Dorrington, Jensen, Tobers as well, all come in They've done their business fast in January, and they could all play this evening. So we'll give you team news when it comes, Gordon, at about 6:45. The referee is Kevin Clancy, with Nick Walsh on the VAR.
Looking forward to it, so get all your pre-match thoughts in, please, right now. 01419511025. And not only are we doing that, looking back on last night as well at Den, so you're spoiled for choice. Just all this talk about the atmosphere and so on and everything that goes around it. You had a really interesting individual role in this at the weekend, Cammy Bell, because you went to Ibrox with your son and it was his first ever game.
First game.
So what we need to know is, did your son leave his first ever match after 55 minutes?
I made sure,
having driven all the way from Annan for it.
Listen, I made sure he stayed till for the full 90 minutes and clapped off the players. Listen, no, there was obviously the huge protest, and there was a few people followed it from other sections in the stadium. And it was a strange atmosphere. As Gabriel said there, I just feel like the club's really in different places. The fans are frustrated. If Rangers start winning games of football on the pitch, that's going to bring unity. That's the biggest way to bring unity back towards the club. Yes, people will vent the frustration at the board and the running of the club, but see, if we're winning football games, it makes everything so much easier.
Ryan is a Rangers fan first through. How are you feeling about this one tonight then, Ryan? Hi, Ryan, can you hear us?
Hello?
Ryan, how's it going?
Good.
What are you thinking tonight?
Alright.
The line's not great. Let's see if we can get that cleared up a bit. Marvin, your thoughts on tonight before we try and readdress it?
Yeah, I think it could be a difficult game for Rangers. I know Aberdeen have been in really bad form, but you know, one of the Achilles heels for Rangers has been them defending crosses into the box and set plays. I think if Balogun and Tavernier can start, I think they will. Aberdeen are quite a big team, as we all know. And I think today would be no different to what kind of Hibs tried to do. You know, every single free kick will go into the box. Obviously, every corner will. Long throws, absolutely everything. And they'll try and make Rangers defend. And obviously, with the height advantage Aberdeen will have, if it's the same Rangers team who started the last game, you know, it could be a tricky evening.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when these sides meet and there's been so much high drama between them. Aberdeen have not won any game in 11, home, away, no matter what. Rangers, although there's this perception of crisis and everything, home form is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. It's better than fine. It's as good as Celtic's. We've seen Spurs come there. You know, we've seen Celtic go there and lose. So I think that on paper, you know, it does all point to a Rangers win, but at some point Aberdeen, even by law of averages, Aberdeen need to win a game at some point.
Aberdeen are a good side. There's no getting out. They can't go from being unbeaten in 11 to then becoming a really poor side. They've lost a lot of form. They're not playing as well as they can. But yes, I think it would be a huge shock tonight if Aberdeen go and beat Rangers, because Rangers have been so good at home, so consistent at home. It's that away form we all know that's caused them problems throughout the season. But again, sometimes this season, I still don't know what Rangers team's going to turn up. Yeah. And that's my issue.
I think we've got Ryan back. Ryan, what are you expecting tonight?
I'm expecting the Rangers to win, obviously. We can be a good side when we won. And obviously it shows when we're playing weaker teams away. We're maybe not the best at times, you know. But pretty confident we're going to get a win tonight.
It's a strange time, Ryan, when the question marks about what do you think the atmosphere will be like are relevant. But, you know, I'm sure you were either there on Sunday or you saw it, heard about it. What are you expecting tonight on that front?
I don't know what will happen tonight. We're obviously at the Dundee away game. I don't know what my thoughts were on that at the end of the match. I'm not sure what's happening. But obviously, can't win every game. And as he said to me leaving, I did say a bad point. I said it was obviously games, and he turned around and said, "Info, Dad." So when he says stuff like that to me, it makes me think, he just wants to go to any Rangers game.
I see that youthful enthusiasm's there.
Totally.
I mean, like, there's no planned mm-hmm. sort of walkout or anything like there was at the weekend. So you'd imagine that the heat's gone out of that a bit. Look, there will be a banner at some point. I would imagine that's sort of how these things would work. Is it What do you think that would be like as a player? I mean, is that a distraction in any way? It's easy for them to say, I would just focus on the job at hand. But, I mean, are you running out there sort of, I wonder how this... Because it wasn't just the walkout at the weekend. Cammy will tell you, it was deadly silent. And it was strange. So, as a player, do you think it gets...
Yeah, it's definitely more difficult, you know, as you said, playing in front of kind of fans who are expecting you to get them off their seats, so to speak, rather than, you know, going out there and it being buoyant from the start. But it's kind of one of the pressures if you do play for Rangers Football Club, you have to just get used to doing. Is it ideal? No, it's far from it. Would the players prefer it to be a different way? Of course they would, but it's partly down to them because they haven't done well enough this season. So, you know, they have to take some accountability for that as well. But yeah, and that's what I mean. Aberdeen were trying to play into that. Every time I've gone and played against Rangers, whether I've been at Hibs or Livingston, it's always been, right, try and quiet the fans down and then try and turn them against the players. Well, you know, from minute one, the fans are going to be quiet, we expect, from today. So it'd be even quicker to turn them against the players if Aberdeen do start well. So from a Rangers point of view, it's definitely more difficult.
Mm. Let's bring in Graham as well on the other line. Graham's a Rangers fan. How are you, Graham?
Good evening, Gordon. Nice to speak to you again.
And you. What are you expecting tonight, Graham? Whether that's the football side of it, the atmosphere side of it, what lies in wait at Ibrox?
I think atmosphere will take care of itself. It's Aberdeen versus Rangers. It's their World Cup today. So, you know, I think that... they will come, you know, with a battle plan to take us on, and I think that the team will have to rise to that, you know, or they'll steamroll over the top of us, to be honest with you. So I think that will take care of itself. I think that there's still going to be a bit of atmosphere in the stands. However, you know, I think that hopefully the fact that it's happened, there's been conversations about, you know, the fans trying to kind of unite, and you know, at the end of the day, I'm not taking sides either side. You know, we want to get change with the board, and they want, you know, the direction of the club. So, however you choose to do that, it's fine. You know, I don't think it's about saying who was right or who was wrong with that. But tonight, I hope we get back to the football. I hope we see a good performance. And, you know, we need to take that opportunity with the fact Celtic have dropped points, despite what everybody thinks about the league. The difference of 16 to 13 actually is quite a big difference if you think of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that does help, Cammy? Just this fact that it's Aberdeen, it's under the lights, all that sort of stuff. Just not to disrespect St Johnston, but that just on paper is a lower key fixture. It came on the back of the Patrick Stewart stuff at the weekend. I don't know, you even want to strip it back to the fact that it was freezing cold and maybe less people were going to turn up. But do you know what I mean? Is this got ingredients for more of a kind of big night anyway?
Absolutely. And listen, I do think the fixture played a part in why they done it on Sunday. Again, as you say, there's a lot of elements in it. You can break it down, the weather being a Sunday. The atmosphere will be fine tonight. I think the fans will be right up for it. We know the rivalry between the two sides. Again, it's two of our top sides in Scottish football battling it out tonight. So the Rangers players will be up for it as well. They'll know they want to continue that form from Sunday on to tonight, get another victory. As Graham said, 13 points compared to 16 points, it's a step in the right direction. It's where they want to do, what they need to do between now and the end of the season is reduce that gap. So this is the first step towards it. It's a huge test tonight because I think it will be a difficult game for them, so it'll be interesting to see the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, Graham, it's just such a busy time, isn't it? Because you've got the kind of short term, then you've got the transfer window, in the longer term, what else is on your mind at this kind of important period for the club?
Well, it was tonight. I was calling about the transfer window, and I had a bit of a suggestion out of the left field that I wanted to see what you thought about it. It's obvious Rangers need to strengthen in the centre-half position, and a player that I haven't heard talked about but I think would be a brilliant fit would be Grant Hanley. The performances he's been putting in at Scotland, he's not really getting a game at Norwich. He is only 33. I think people think he's 36, 37 over the hill. And I hark back to the days when Walter Smith came back for his second stint at the club. We were in a similar position. The first thing he did was get 34-year-old Davy Weir and 33-year-old Ugo Ekiog and solidified that back line. So I wondered whether you thought Grant Hanley, I don't think he would be difficult to negotiate with Norwich, whether you think that might be a good fit.
I actually saw a few tweets about that, I think maybe last week. What do you think, that one you could see?
I think it'd be a good fit. I think if it's one that Rangers can do, you know, if I was a Rangers manager or on the Rangers board, it'd be one I'd be trying to do. You know, I agree with exactly what Graham's saying. He's done extremely well for Scotland. I think he's a dominant aerially, which is something that Rangers are kind of missing at this moment in time.
And I think it'd be, yeah, a solid, you know, player to bring in, and, you know, someone who would know the Scottish game and would understand it and understand the physical side that comes with it. You know, you're not bringing up a player from England who has no idea of how it works. So, yeah, I think he would kind of hit the ground running and he would improve that back line for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, I think Grant Hanley comes with a huge amount of experience. As Marv says, he understands Scottish football. He likes the contact, the physical challenge. And Rangers are lacking that at the moment. We all know that any ball that comes into the box, they're really struggling with corner set pieces, very, very vulnerable at the moment. So, yes, he'd be one you'd definitely be looking at if affordable and available. But, yes, it's definitely a position they need to strengthen in.
Was that the priority position, Graham? Patrick Stewart said at the weekend, one, maybe two in. Then we spoke about Lyle Cameron, potentially, you know, from Dundee. So what would be the priority for you?
Absolutely, the defence. I think Lyle Cameron's a great prospect, certainly, and would fit in brilliantly at midfield. I don't think we're actually struggling that much in that area at the moment. I think we proved that against Celtic. But we absolutely, definitely need to strengthen our back line, or we're going to bomb out of everything.
Okay, thank you very much to Graham. Enjoy the game this evening. Keep your build-up coming. If you want to look back on last night, now's a good time to do so. We're going to do that. So Celtic fans, are you just content, happy with being 16, potentially, worst case scenario, 13 points clear? Or were there things last night that you didn't like, whether that be individual performances or something the team did? Brendan Rodgers had quite a lot to say. What did you make of his reaction? We'll do it all next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Cammy Beller here, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call if we are, well, we are, we're building up to the game at Ibrox tonight. So any thoughts there, please do. Looking back on Dundee last night as well. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers to set the scene for you. He says Celtic were passive and soft in the draw.
Very passive, especially in the second half. Game should have been out of sight in the first half. Made a great start. And then we just lost our concentration on the set piece in our organisation, which allowed them to break out, and the young guy finishes it really well. So that gives Dundee a little up just before half-time. Get in front, OK? So we're in a good place, and then I expect us then to take us through the gears, and especially on that little slope and down towards our supporters. But we defend it really, really poorly. The second goal, we got to deal with that much better and much quicker. And then from the corner, we go soft. So, yeah, so it's not what I would expect for us to do when you consider how we've defended all season and the aggression that we've had. But yeah, but we fight right to the end, and we get a point. That's not what we want, but we have to take it and move on.
Thomas is on the line. Thomas, what did you take away from it last night?
I don't know how you... wasn't a good game. I think it's the worst we've played for a long while, you know, and it just seemed disjointed over the whole game, like, you know, credit to them, you know what I mean, they really stuck in, and obviously they could have got the 3 points, but obviously the end was we fell at the end. The reason I come on, Gordon, it's the attacking side of it. Adam Eder, I know it cost nine million for Eder, but he's not really maintaining the last couple of games. And we've got a boy, Johnny Kenny, who we brought back for the Shamrock Rovers. I think Kenny should maybe get a start, see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, things are starting to come into focus now because Celtic fans are looking for more improvements. I mean, it's still a good, very good position to be in, but were there alarm bells ringing last night about whether it is Adam Eder or others, and Thomas wants to see Johnny Kenny given a shot?
I think Celtic have such high standards that when they do drop points domestically, there's always going to be some sort of alarm bells ringing. You know, Brendan said, obviously, they went soft in terms of defending a set play. You know, expected a team to go through the gears and they didn't. But as I said, you know, when you're playing for a team who are used to winning things and consistently win things, you know, even the smallest drop-off is going to, you know, then become a big thing. You know, obviously, when us talking about Eder and, you know, Kenny potentially getting a start. I can't see him starting, if I'm honest. You know, we saw him come on at the weekend, and get his opportunity at Ross County. I think Adam Eder's someone that you paid £9 million for. He's still only 23 years of age. He'll know he has to do better, for sure. You know, he's not kind of hit the heights that he did at the back end of last season in terms of his goal return. And again, these are the pressures that come. You know, you don't get, you know, a long time to settle in and be like, OK, he was good last season. We'll give him a lot of time this season. He has to start scoring goals, and he understands that. But listen, I don't think there's a massive worry for Brendan. He knows European football's on the horizon very, very soon, so he'll want the standards to go up. But will he be panicking? No. Will he want more? Yes.
What did you make of it last night, Cammy?
Celtic didn't perform to their best. They did concede poor goals, and it's not like them because they've been defensively really good this season, so far, certainly domestically. And I think, listen, Brendan Rodgers was obviously quite critical of the way they defended, even just about their business being a little bit too soft around the pitch. But Adam Eden needs some goals. That's what he needs. He needs goals to give himself a little bit of confidence up there. There's a lot of pressure on him with that price tag hanging over him as well. And Kenny, will he get an opportunity at the weekend in the Scottish Cup? Possibly. I don't think he'll start. I think it possibly could be one of them ones that if they get in a good position, then he could come on and get some minutes.
I've seen some amount of opinions that range from one extreme to the other on social media, Thomas. You know, some people saying, what's all the fuss? It's 16 points. Worst case scenario tonight, it's 13. That's a brilliant position, etc., etc. And then others say, nah, the performances haven't been good for a long time, and this player's off it, and that player's off it. Which, what would you describe yourself as? Are you feeling pretty relaxed about it all, or not so much?
Well, obviously, the last couple of games, Gordon, we've not been at our best. You know, we've kind of struggled. We've kind of struggled away from the games, you know what I mean? Obviously, the last couple of games have been great. I know maybe we're only 16 points clear, you know, but I think Brendan obviously, he wasn't pleased with their performance, you know, and obviously the defence, the goals we landed was poor, you know what I mean? It was really poor, fair defensive side of it. But I just think, obviously, coming into the next couple of games, you know, I think they do better. You know, I think, obviously, Brendan's obviously maybe said that to them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Marvin, it will be one of the only football cities anywhere in the world where you could possibly say, I know they're 16 points clear, but is there something going wrong there? That's just kind of how it plays out, I suppose, here.
Yeah, it is the way that it plays out, and I'm getting used to that finally, Gordon. Understand the pressure of the teams in Glasgow. I actually don't think the Ross County performance was a bad one. I thought it was an extremely difficult pitch. I think they dealt with the game really, really well. And I think, you know, many other teams would have gone there and really struggled in terms of the conditions, etc. So I actually think they did well against Ross County. I get some of the goals they conceded against Dundee were soft. When Brendan said he expects when they go ahead. So that, again, he's telling the players, be accountable for this. When we go ahead, we stay ahead and, you know, we go through the gears, and they didn't do that. So yeah, he's constantly driving the standards. But yeah, will there be pressure on them in terms of the fans saying it has to be better? I think Callum McGregor will be in there saying, you know, we can't come here and draw with teams like Dundee without being disrespectful. It shouldn't happen. You know, you're playing for Celtic Football Club. So, listen, it's one of those things, but listen, there won't be a huge meeting into it. It'll be saying, listen, these are the things I expect to be better. Make sure they do get better in the next game.
They're in a brilliant position, though. And again, what you need to remember is they've had 5 games in 12 days. Mm-hmm. It's been a very hectic period for them, and I'm not just using that as an
excuse.
Sound
like a sports scientist, mate.
Listen, no.
Red zone.
Absolutely not. You know that. I don't listen to sports science. But I think it's been a heavy schedule. As Marv says, they had that pitch up at Ross County they had to deal with. They managed to navigate their way through that game, no problem. So they're in a very good position, so I wouldn't be worrying too much.
Thank you very much to Thomas. Let's hear this from Brendan Rodgers, because this was interesting. Not quite as interesting as what he said when he was lip-read by the full nation.
What was
he
that?
He described Austin Trusty, you assume, as being weak as...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then asked about it afterwards, he says Trusty does need to do better defensively than he did last night, especially for Dundee's third goal.
Yeah, he's got to deal with that better. You got to stay on your feet. It's as simple as that. You're 6'4", you've got to deal with that better. But he knows that. He understands that. But that's what I'm saying. You know, across certain areas, we went a bit soft.
What do you make of that, Alec, who's on the other line? Is he right?
Hi, Hi, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, pleasure. Guys.
Hi, mate.
Nah, I don't really want to fire a scattergun here, Gordon. A lot of players, but there's a few players just now that really need to pick their game up. Trusty last night, the second goal that they gave away, he's out in the wing. In fact, their actual first goal, they're all up there for a corner. Now, they're instructed to go up there and they leave one player back. They get caught, the guy scores a good goal. Celtic don't have any divine right to win every game. I understand that. I'm old enough and ugly enough to understand that. But you've got to leave some defensive players back. Trusty, as I say, made a right mess of the second goal. The third goal, he's complaining about a Dundee player standing his foot instead of being strong. But the problem is, we drop Trusty and we ring back Scales, who, in my opinion, isn't any better. The boy Yang, out in the wing, is no Celtic quality. He really is not Celtic quality. I can't remember the last time. I know he scored a goal last night. I can't remember the last time he made a forward pass. He's no Celtic quality. Adam Eder, Norwich must be laughing all the way to the bank for getting £9 million for this boy. This boy just has not got it. As far as I'm concerned, they need some changes. We're hearing all this, the stories about Kieran Tierney coming back and another centre forward. It's now the 15th of January, I think. We've not had a thing in the last 2 weeks. It's about time somebody get their finger out.
So you, overall, you're pretty worried about Adam Eder. You don't think this is a temporary thing and he's going to come good and prove value for the 9 million. You've got concerns that's never going to happen.
I don't think the boy is the finished article, Gordon. He might need a bit of time to settle in. I know everybody keeps saying he's only 20, 21 year old, but £9 million, I mean, last night, when Kyogo put that ball across to him, he should have been blasting that into the back of the net. He's seen the goalkeeper coming out, and in my opinion, he sort of shied away from it. He didn't want to get hurt.
Just that was a classic striker with no confidence, yeah. That one, wasn't it? But to go back to Austin Trusty, because he was mentioned in Alex bit there. He's 26. He has played in the English Premier League. He costs £6 million. He's an international footballer. Now, for a long time, Celtic got accused of only signing projects. Mm-hmm. By no definition is Austin Trusty a project, yet he's in a roundabout way described by his manager as weak as, yeah. You know, the bit where he didn't cover his mouth, and then even publicly saying that he needs to do better, and he knows that. What did you make of his performance, and then where that leaves him? We've kind of seen this before. Were you part of Lyndon Dykes and Christopher Julian?
Yeah.
Those sort of feelings about it where, you know, Austin Trusty can keep a clean sheet against Atalanta, but let Simon Murray buzz about you and it's a whole different game.
Yeah, his performance was very similar to the one he had against Falkirk in the cup. Remember, and Celtic had to bring on kind of the big guns to go on and win it. And he kind of struggled in that game, and it reminded me of that. And now, I don't know if it's a mindset thing, thinking we're just going to go out there, it's just Dundee, and we'll beat them because I'm surrounded by good players. And sometimes you get caught short in the game, and before you know it, you know, you're making mistakes and you're costing your team goals. So, you know, to play for Celtic, it's not just about ability. You know, Cammy's obviously been at Rangers. You have to have a certain mindset as well to understand that every game, every domestic game you come up against somebody, it's their cup final. It's their big chance to, you know, put one over, like I said, Lyndon Dykes did with Christian Julian when he was at Celtic. So, yeah, maybe he just needs to get used to that. But as you said, he's paid £6 million for a player. He's played in the English Premier League, international footballer. No doubt about it, though. Celtic are a much bigger club than Sheffield United. The pressures are slightly different, but he has to do better. He has to defend with his life every single game, like you see Cameron Carter-Vickers do, you know, when he puts on the shirt for Celtic.
Yeah, no, listen, I totally agree with everything that Marv says. I think, he's came in, he's, again, a decent price tag on his back. I like him as a player. I think he's a good player. Last night wasn't his best game, but, again, his managers came out and basically publicly criticised him for his performances. He says he's taken it on the chin. He need to be stronger. You need to be physical in this league. You need to be up for every single game, as Marv said, because every single team that Celtic face, they do raise their game. And I think probably looking at the worrying thing for the fans at this moment in time, it's not the league that's going into these Champions League games. Where are they going to be placed? The fans would be much more happier if they're winning games consistently, still playing at that high top-end level, because they've got a huge game next week against Young Boys at home that they need to go and perform well to go and get the points, which is going to be so vital for them to progress in the Champions League.
See if / when that clip makes its way to Austin Trusty and he sees his manager on TV saying that he's weak as... Does that matter? I mean, has he told him that anyway behind closed doors? are players now, maybe are they sensitive to that? Will they dislike it? Does it matter? Is it a small thing?
It doesn't matter if he dislikes it. Brendan Rodgers is the manager of Celtic and he's a player at Celtic. So and Brendan Rodgers is right. So ultimately, as a player, you know, when that sort of thing happens, you probably laugh it off and be like, you know what, he is right. He hasn't meant it in a, you know, vicious way towards him. He's just been really frustrated with the way he's defended. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He needs to be stronger, which I suppose is what he told him anyway.
Oh, he'd have told him something stronger in the dressing room. Yeah. And he would have known himself as well. Because players around him, I think, you know, they've got an accountable dressing room.
All right, thank you, Alec. We're going to get team news from Ibrox. So give us your thoughts when you hear it. Is the right or the wrong team that Philippe Clement has picked? And I'll tell you about this first.
Every day is payday.
Yes, it is all happening on Every Day is Payday. Your chance to win the biggest payday of your life. We guarantee to pay out all that cash and, of course, the chance to be a daily winner of £2,025 as well. So text YES to 61025 and you'll get two entries for the price of one text. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. Entries at Clyde1.com are £2.50 or call 0330 880 4523. Those calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online. Now, the lines close at 3 p.m. on Friday for your chance to win £225,000. But if you enter before 3 p.m. tomorrow, you're also in the draw for the extra payday worth £2,025. So just answer your phone. If we call you, the money goes straight in. It is that simple. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick off at Ibrox, Aberdeen the visitors. Looking back on last night's game at Dens as well, Austin Trusty getting a bit of criticism so far. Adam Ida as well. Of course, credit to Dundee. Let's go back to Ibrox. I would imagine the teams are out, or maybe they're not. Yes, they are. Gabriel, yes. What's the news?
Yes, Gordon, teams just come out here. Both sides naming unchanged 11. Quite interesting when you look at it that way. We'll start with Rangers. So it's the same team that beat St Johnstone 3-1 on Sunday, although captain James Tavernier and fellow defender Leon Balogun return amongst the substitutes. So it's Liam Kelly in goal, a defence of Ridvan Yilmaz, Robin Proper, Clinton Nsiala and Jefte, Mohamed Diomande and captain Nicola Raskin are at the base of midfield. It'll be Danilo just behind Hamza Igerman with Václav Černý and Yanis Hadji on the wings. Substitutes for Rangers: Munn, Tavernier, Barron, Dessers, Bairami, Balogun, McCausland, Rice and Lovelace. So some youth on there for Rangers as well. And as I said, Gordon, the visitors, Aberdeen, maintained the 11 that drew 0-0 with Hearts on Sunday. So they'll go Doohan in goal, a defence of Devlin, Heltman-Nielsen, new signing Tobers and McGarry. Captain Graham Shinney will be at the base of midfield alongside Ante Palaversa with Leighton Clarkson just in front of them. And you have Toppy Keskinen, Kevin Nisbet and Ockhills as a front three. So two new signings keeping their place in the Dons 11 and two further new signings, both offensive, on the bench as well, in the shape of Dorrington and Jensen. They're amongst the substitutes along with Richie, Polvara, Duke, Morris, Boyd, Ambrose and Anen.
Well, thank you very much to Gabriel. Philippe Clement very rarely names an unchanged team, although he has in recent weeks. From we certainly named one from the Celtic game into the Hibs game, didn't he? And got obviously it didn't go to plan on that day. Are you surprised because Tavernier and Balogun are clearly back available, or does it just make sense to stick with the unchanged?
I'm a little bit surprised, but again, they won the game on Sunday. I know the second half wasn't convincing. They didn't get up to the levels they should have done, but yeah, they still won the game. It depends how far, how close they are, how much training they've actually done in that period of time. If they've only had a day's worth of training or a couple of days, then they're maybe not up to match speed. So he's stuck with his team. He's given these guys the opportunity to go on the pitch and perform. So it's up to them to go and get the result tonight. Obviously, the bench looks a little bit stronger with guys coming back, which is good as well.
Yeah, I guess it would be minimal, you know, the amount of time that Balogun and Tavernier have spent on the training ground. And we all know day before a match as well, you don't do a lot. So it's not really a tester for the players. It's a warm-up boxes and then a few set plays. So Yeah, listen, I think if either of them were able to get through 60 minutes, I think they would have started for the reasons I said earlier in terms of, you know, Aberdeen would be trying to, you know, set plays, etc. But yeah, as Cammy said, that, you know, the bench is definitely stronger with, you know, players coming back to fitness. I'm surprised with Aberdeen, though, not making changes. I thought Duke might have started. I really did. I know they brought in a guy unknown from Preston. I didn't think he had the best of games. He's not played for a long, long time. Stayed on for 70 minutes playing left wing against Hearts, and he really, really tired at the end. So I'm surprised he's, you know, being kept back out there again for a midweek game.
Davey's on the line. Davey, as a Rangers fan, there is so much going on. There is obviously the league position, the fans, Philippe Clement's sort of position. What one interests you the most?
Hello, Gordon.
Hello.
Yes, I know we've been talking about Philippe Clement. Everybody was just talking about get him sacked, and all the trouble went through, this and that. And Patrick Stewart's come out and backed him, say, to the end of the season. But a couple of whispers I've been hearing through grapevines and all that. I know the grapevines, you know, the best thing, but I've been hearing that, like, keep him to the end of the season and they're going to go for the St Mirren manager. Just to see what you, Cammy, and...
Where are you hearing that rumour, Davey?
Just out and about. A couple of other things that's come out and it's came through and all that, and just to see what you think, if you've heard anything different from what other people are saying. I mean,
I have to say, he's done a wonderful job at St Mirren and did a very good job at Motherwell before. But if Rangers' master plan was to tick Philippe Clement along till the end of the season so they could bring in Stephen Robinson, would that be surprising?
Very surprising for me. Yes, he's done a fantastic job at St Mirren, Motherwell. Obviously, he's had spells down the road as well. So he's a very good manager. But again, has he had that top level? Even the likes of being a Hibs or a Hearts manager, an Aberdeen manager, and it's no disrespect to St Mirren, but that next level, I just don't know at this moment in time. I firmly believe Rangers and Patrick Stewart will be out there looking for potentially who the next manager is, if it's not Philippe Clement. If he doesn't perform within the next 2-3 months, they've got to be actively looking at what direction they go in next. But Stephen Robinson's, it's a surprising shout for me.
Can you see it? Is Davey's source on the right track, Marvin?
No, I can't see that. For the reasons that kind of Cammy said there, I think, you know, about being disrespectful to St Mirren, I know their fans will say, well, we finished above Hearts, Hibs last season, rather. I can't see him, you know, jumping from St Mirren to Rangers. It would surprise me. And yeah, he has done a fantastic job, but yeah, I can't imagine him going in at Rangers. And I agree with what Cammy's saying as well. And I think all clubs now, you know, are guessing that either a manager's going to be sacked, the manager might leave of their own accord, or be headhunted. So they're constantly, you know, updating their list of who might come next. I think they'll keep Clement to the end of the season. I think it makes perfect sense. I don't think you can bring in anyone now. They're not going to catch Celtic. So given that time to the end of the season, and it's a lot easier to prize a manager away if that's the way you want to go in the summer, you know, in terms of compensation if they're in the job, than it is, you know, in January.
Are you happy enough to stick with Philippe Clement for now, Davey?
Yeah, I'm coming in again. I know you are saying experience. Nobody heard of Ange Postecoglou. He went to Celtic. He's in Australia all the time, Japan all the time. He came out here. Maybe knew him. Everybody was writing him off. Done well, wonders with Celtic. Just because you're a young man, Stevie Robinson, knowing the money, knowing that, you kind of write people off.
And you'd managed at a high level, though. Well, it just hadn't been in Europe.
How's a high level?
He's a country manager. He's an international manager, Davey.
You're sorry?
He'd managed his country.
Yes, but he didn't take away with that. Philip's country left away. He's getting all kinds of way to Spurs in England, but he's doing no bad with them. You can't write people off just because they're at St Mirren and Motherwell and MK Dons.
No one's writing him off saying he'd be surprised.
Listen, by the way,
Morecambe as well, wasn't MK Dons, it was Morecambe.
Yeah. I think if he'd had that step, whether it be with regards to, and as I say, no disrespect to St Mirren, but a Hearts or an Aberdeen or even a Championship team down south, I think that's the next progression for Stephen Robinson if he wants to leave St Mirren, that is. So I just feel as if it's too big a jump going from St Mirren straight into Rangers.
Agree to disagree on it. Thank you very much to Davey. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Cammy Bell, Marvin Bartley, both there for the taking if you ask me. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. You have to call before 7 o'clock, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley's here, so is Cammy Bell, and we are about an hour away from kickoff at Ibrox. It's always a big game when Rangers and Aberdeen meet. You throw into the mix Philippe Clement's position, the atmosphere at Ibrox at the weekend, the 16-point gap at the top, Aberdeen, who haven't won in 11. It is all happening. It's got all the ingredients of a big night at Ibrox. So we already gave you the team news. Give us your reaction. Both teams unchanged as well, so not much to say there. Give us your reaction. And we're also looking back on last night at Dens Park. What did you make of it, Celtic fans? What stood out for you? Give us a call and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Incredible scenes on the Beat the Pundit table tonight. You, listen to, people are going to think there's something wrong with the radio. You, Marvin Bartley, can go above Roger Hanna.
Wow. Yeah? How many has he lost?
Did he get beat again?
He got beat.
Yeah.
Obviously, he starts on minus two.
Oh, of course.
So it's sort of.
That's the rules. No, no, no.
Kind
no.
of false.
No, no, no. No asterisks here.
The rules are the rules. And based on win percentage, you, a dumpling at Beat the Pundit, would go above the genius that is Roger Hanna.
That'd be tremendous.
On win percentage, if you can win. Cammy, you're looking to get off bottom spot.
Listen, aye, but wait a minute.
But
here.
What?
I think I've only played four times.
Five.
Five. And lost four times.
It's between you and Scott Allen at the bottom.
Right, but so what? Have I lost 1-3, lost two?
Yes.
That's all right.
Not bad. To be fair, Roger took my 10 as well. I'd love to go above him.
Exactly, because there's a bit of beef there,
yeah,
on Beat the
Pundit. Definitely is.
Sam is on the line. How are you, Sam?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No.
Good stuff. Who do you think you'd rather face?
Well, I did ask for Big Marv, but after hearing his record there, I'm a wee bit...
Yeah, he's got better. If it's heads, it will be Cammy Bell, and if it's tails, it is Marvin Bartley. Oh, and it is. It's the chance to move above Roger Hanna.
Come on, Sam.
Don't mess it up, Marvin. Do not
mess
it up.
Massive pressure, mate.
Okay, if we could give Marvin a change of noise in his ear, and that means, Sam, he won't hear what you're saying, hopefully. 30 seconds go on the clock, as I'm sure you know, and you are allowed to pass, okay? Ready, Sam? Top man, your 30 seconds going on the clock then, and your time starts now. Former Rangers players Christian Daly, Duncan Ferguson and John Souter all played for which other Scottish club? Luis Palma plays for which international side?
Honduras.
Who was the Aberdeen manager when they last won the top flight?
Sir Alex Ferguson.
St Johnstone manager Simo Vallecari is what nationality?
Serbian.
What Scottish team is nicknamed the Blue Brazil?
Cowden Beef.
New Hamilton signing Tony Gallagher was previously at which English Premier League side?
Bournemouth.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Change you ready?
Decent, by the way.
Don't blow this tonight. Don't blow this.
Come on, Marv.
You ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Former Rangers players Christian Daly, Duncan Ferguson and John Souter all played for which other Scottish club?
Dundee United.
Luis Palma plays for which international side?
Honduras? Honduras?
Who was the Aberdeen manager the last time they won the top flight?
Alex Ferguson, so that's fine.
St Johnstone manager Simo Vallecari is what nationality?
Finish.
Which Scottish team is nicknamed the Blue Brazil?
Peterhead.
Okay. Sam, what do you think?
I got a wee chance.
I know who that is, that last one. Let's find out. Let's go through them. Chance to go above Roger Hanna for you. Former Rangers players Christian Daly, Duncan Ferguson and John Souter all played for which other Scottish club? Dundee United. You just heard Souter and said Hearts, Sam, didn't you? You dived in.
Yeah.
So Marvin goes 1-0 in front. You both knew that Luis Palma plays for Honduras. Well done.
Hey, Jamaica, that's why.
You both knew Sir Alex Ferguson was the last Aberdeen manager to win the top flight. I was worried about you here, you know, having, you know, living with a St Johnstone fan.
Yeah,
I thought you should know this. Simo Vallecari is Finnish.
Because of Jari Lipman, that's why I knew that.
What do you mean?
Because he's from Finland as well. So that was why I remembered who it was, because we were speaking about Jari Lipman at the time, and she's like, oh, Simo's from the same place.
That's right, okay.
That was the link, sorry.
I was lost as well.
You just randomly named another Finnish person.
Right, yeah, okay. Sorry, that was the link.
4-2 to Marvin Bartley. The Blue Brazil.
Is it Cowden?
Cowden Beath. Yeah. Sam got that. Sam was no bad. And then Sam got an extra question.
Oh.
So he's 4-3 down. New Hamilton signing Tony Gallagher was also at which English Premier League club?
Oh, he's going to get at Liverpool.
He said Bournemouth.
Liverpool. Did have a chance, Sam. No chance.
Sam. Honestly. Hard lines, Sam. Maybe next time.
Thanks, guys.
Good
top man, mate.
Sam, cheers, mate.
In East Kilbride, and there you are.
Can you read out the league, please?
Bye bye, Roger.
Yeah. Roger, I hope you're listening, mate.
Andy Halliday first with a 100% record.
Keep going, keep going.
Second, it's a bit difficult because Stephen O'Donnell and Ross McCormick have 100% records, but they've played once. Yeah.
You've got to have a minimum of 3 games.
Doesn't really count. Okay, if we go minimum of 3 games, it would be Marvin Bartley in second place with a high 80%. That's impressive.
That's not bad at all. And I should have got Cowden Beef as well.
You were rubbish when you first started, Beat the
Awful.
Pundit.
I had other pressures though.
Remember yourself. Do you work on your own?
Do you work on your game or?
Nah, pure luck, mate.
He's been swatting up.
Pure luck.
What do you think? -1 for Marvin? He's getting good.
It's getting that way.
It's getting good.
No, Roger's got to work harder and try and catch me.
He's getting good. Blue Wheels is on Twitter. This is a good point. Do we need to show solidarity with our colleague on the show? He says, why is there no outrage for Luke McCowan not celebrating against Dundee when Andy Halliday got slated on the show? He didn't get slated off me, to be fair. I went tongue in cheek for him at the start. I privately told him I didn't think it was that big a deal. But see, now every player who doesn't celebrate against their former team, Andy will text about it straight away. All over it. All right, I'm watching this. So it was Luke McCowan last night. Who was it? Alex Iacoviti didn't celebrate against Ross County for St Mirren. And
wait, what about? There's another
player. Well, that's even weirder, obviously.
Yeah.
Is that Aaron Donnelly?
Yeah.
He's never even played for Celtic. He just likes them.
Just doesn't celebrate.
Just likes them.
What?
What's happening here? Just celebrate.
That one cannot happen. That's a fine. The players have got to fine him for that.
Think so?
Yeah, you can't. Well, support them. It doesn't matter, mate. You can't.
He's no played for them,
exactly, ever.
I think he must have known, because then he got interviewed after, didn't he? And he said, oh, I just didn't know what to do. Oh, so he just got lost in the moment, sort of thing.
Chestnut.
So there we go. You can feel free to phone in if you're that way inclined on 01419511025. We've given you team news from Ibrox tonight, and we're continuing the build up there. So Rangers fans, do come on down and let us know what you're thinking. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. I know one of the earlier callers gave Yang a bit of stick, but Brendan Rodgers says Yang's put in a lot of work, and of course scored his first goal of the season last night.
Yeah, bless him, he gave everything in the game. I've got to say, he's done about 100 hours shooting practice and he scores with a header. So he's worked so hard at his game, bless him, and he gives his all. And like you said, some good moments first half. And he puts so much extra work in the training field, and then he scores with his header at the back post. And then from then, really, I expect us to go on, because we're good in those moments, we're good in the lead, but like I say, you've got to defend better.
I always think timing of goals is so important. See, when Dundee equalise straight away, that's the bit that changes everything, isn't it? Because you think, oh well, Celtic are not going to let a second lead slip. And of course, as good as Dundee were, they deserve all the praise in the world. We all know it. You've been Kilmarnock, Livingston. You need that little bit of luck. So you need Cameron Carter-Vickers to somehow direct it beyond Kasper Schmeichel at the front post. And then that allows you to really go in there, because they really got after Celtic, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a real belief. And I think they, you know, listen, anyone who plays against Dundee, and Dundee are playing at home, I think they believe that they can score goals, which again they showed last night. And they have a massive, massive belief that they can outscore anybody. And, you know, Tony Docherty came out after the game and said how proud he was of his players. And like you said, rightfully so. But from Celtic's point of view, you know, be extremely frustrated, because we always hear it, it's an old cliche that's saying you're most vulnerable once you score a goal. And And Brendan just doesn't expect to see that from his players. And it's happened a couple of times this season where, you know, you watch them and at a certain instance, they do look really, really vulnerable. And it's just something they need to just get away from. But as I said, how critical can you be of a team that are sitting so far clear in the league? But as I said, it's these fine margins to, you know, trying to get, make Celtic perfect.
Andy is a Celtic fan. What have you got for us, Andy?
I'm just wondering if the Celtic players have subconsciously started to switch off because we basically know the league's won. They're so far in front and there's been so little competition. I'm just wondering if they've subconsciously switched off some of them.
They certainly shouldn't, Andy, because again, you look further afield than the league. Yes, it looks like the title is wrapped up, but again, you want to build momentum. You've got a huge Champions League game against Young Boys. There's still a lot to play for this season. You've got the Scottish Cup, obviously. I don't think Brendan Rodgers will allow the players to switch off. I think it possibly is creeping in, and maybe he knows that. Maybe, again, that's why he's came out and been critical of players publicly, that, again, just giving them a little bit of a kick up the bum to say, look, you need to focus. We've got a lot to play for this season. We've got huge opportunities to progress in the Champions League, but you want to be going into them games in good form, with confidence, and building momentum towards it. So I would say the bigger picture for me for Celtic is probably out with the league and where they can go this season.
Yeah, I don't think they would have switched off. And the reason I don't think they would have is because the squad is that strong that you've just come out of the team.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're playing for a club where you've got, you know, 11 or 12 players and you think, oh, I'm guaranteed to play every single week. I don't think there's a player in that Celtic team, maybe outside of Schmeichel, who, you know, there's a massive, massive drop-off should somebody else come in and replace them, or think that, you know, they're over-comfortable in their position and, you know, I'm going to play every single game. We even see Kyogo, we see, you know, Nicholas Kuhn also on the bench sometimes. So, yeah, I don't think they would have switched off. Sometimes you just have off days. Sometimes you just have off weeks. You know, they're professional footballers, not robots. And as I said, you have to give a lot of credit to the teams that they're playing against, i.e. Dundee yesterday, because it's a cup final for those Dundee players. I know they're in the spotlight, they're on TV. And sometimes, you know, teams are able to raise their game, and as Gordon said earlier, you get a little bit of luck along the way.
Andy, can I assume that you do think that might be the case? Is that why you've asked?
Definitely I do. Definitely I do. It's not just been one game they've switched off either. They've probably really never really hit the heights for the Leipzig game, to be quite honest. The league itself, I think a lot of the Celtic supporters switching off to the league because we know it's won. So human nature tells you, I'm not saying they're doing it intentionally, but I think human nature would tell you that subconsciously some of these guys know that it's won anyway and there's no chance of Rangers coming back. So for that point of view, I believe that they're probably just losing a wee edge.
You guys would know more than me. It's interesting because that... I can see the human nature part of it, like maybe it's inevitable, but then I don't know, are players only motivated by the thought of winning the league? Because let's cut to the chase, they're getting paid a lot of money to do so. They'll, you know, I don't know, win bonuses or whatever.
Yep.
Again, there's that kind of selfish thing of they're all playing for themselves to try and be as good as they can be every game, so that either gets them increased status at Celtic or it attracts, you know, someone else to them. So but then maybe if Andy's saying, look, but it's a subconscious thing, you know, you're not thinking about it, but I just feel like players surely are motivated by enough other factors that shouldn't really come into play.
No, I do agree, and I agree with Marv as well that, again, players, I think they won't switch off because they know that they're not guaranteed a place in the team. If they're not performing, Brendan Rodgers just pulls them out of the team, plays another player who's just as good a quality and can bring different things to the Celtic team. Yes, there might be... It could creep in, but I don't think the manager will allow it. I think he's a top elite manager. I don't think he'll allow it. I think he'll be looking at the bigger picture and trying to build momentum, wanting to hit the heights that he knows his team can, because Celtic are going to face some very good teams in the Champions League pretty soon as well. I think they need the Champions League back. I think that might just spark them off again and get them going to the levels they need to be playing at. And again, it's been, as I say, it's been a little bit of a slogger period because I've had a lot of games in a short period of time and a lot of domestic games as well.
Because the glass half empty way of looking at that, though, is that Celtic are now not in the form they would want to be in going into a French Champions League game against Young Boys.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair, that they're not in the form that they'd want to be in, because, you know, as Andy said there, they haven't hit the heights potentially they did at early on in the season, or when they're in the midst of those Champions League games. So yeah, I think that's a fair assumption to make, and I think Brendan would definitely agree with that. But it doesn't mean that the players are switching off. As Cammy said, there could be many factors to it. It could be that they played a lot of minutes. Like, Celtic play a high intense game, so sometimes when they do slightly come off of that, yeah, it might look like they're kind of, you know, lacking a little bit of sharpness, etc., etc. But as I said, Champions League night, as soon as that comes back, you know, you'll see them, you know, at full flow again.
Are you quite relaxed about it, Andy, or do you think it's something that could become worse as this goes on?
No, I'm fairly relaxed. You know, from what Marvin's just said, I think's right. I always remember watching the Rangers team in the late 80s and 90s. And invariably they would come across Celtic, and Celtic would play better, but Rangers would always win. And the biggest gripe that old firm managers had at that time was they weren't being challenged week in, week out in Scottish football. And, you know, Celtic and Rangers were the only two teams that really challenged each other. And even now, we don't even have that now. So it's natural that you play with your slippers on, if you like, I suppose. But I just believe that this Celtic team are a very good side, and I think when it comes to Champions League, they really need to keep the professionalism up during the league games, because if not, it will come back and bite them in the Champions League. So it would be a worry in the respect, as you can't switch it on and off.
The headline I'm going to make is, Andy says he'd prefer if Rangers were closer. is that too much, Andy? Is that too much of a stretch?
No, just a game off them would be good.
A couple of weeks ago.
But again, we've switched off. I mean, it's that Celtic team went there. Actually, I'll give you a bit of insight into that game. If Kyogo scores in 70 seconds, the game's done. Rangers fold. That's the difference.
That's not an insight. I thought you were going to tell me a secret as to why Celtic had lost the game.
Rangers just look. It's nice, and I didn't take any great pleasure in saying that they're just not their aces. But it's plain to see there's a lot of trouble in there, and it's just not being competitive, and it's not been great to watch. You know, we all want to watch competitive football, and it was good to see Aberdeen up there in the early part of the season, because it threw a new twist into the season. But it's predictable now. It's very predictable. And, you know, nobody likes a one-horse race, never mind, or a two-horse race, never mind a one-horse race.
Yeah, fair enough. That was Andy in Stirling. Let's go to Port Glasgow and bring in James. How are you, James?
Good evening, lads. Good evening, Cammy. Good evening, Marvin.
Hi, mate.
What about last night then, James?
Right, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. Scales get slaughtered against the Old Firm game. Terrible. Last night, Carter Vickers gave away the goal for the corner. He was trying to take the ball out for a throw in to us, and two Dundee players robbed him. What happened? Scored a goal. Now, he came out this morning and last night, Brendan said about Adam Thrusty. What? I noticed Brendan didn't mention Paulo Bernardo, who'd one chance for a header and done hee-haw for the rest of the game. The same for Callum McGregor. Callum was non-existent last night. Johnston was to blame for the second goal. So why is Brendan slating Thrusty? So does that mean, I hope on Sunday, that Thrusty or Carter Vickers should be trapped and Scales should be brought back in? Just a point, lads.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying he was slating him. I think he was just letting him know that kind of what he expects from him. I think in terms of the other two that you mentioned there, Callum McGregor, and the bad games that he's had for Celtic probably throughout his whole career there, you can probably count on one hand. I think Bernardo, again, has been really, really good. I think Trusty's obviously had to buy his time and coming into the team. I mentioned the way he played against Falkirk earlier on in the season, where he struggled. I think it's just one of them that, you know, and again, Brendan sees his boys in training. So has Trusty slightly been off it? Has he noticed something, you know, where he's not actually been at 100% and has it now creeped into a game and he's made a mistake? So it might just be, you know, the jag that he needs to say, listen, you've dropped your trainings in standards. Oh, sorry, dropped your standards in training, then it can lead into games. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's anything major. I think it's just a good manager who's got a good relationship with his players, letting them know, you know, publicly that it's not acceptable.
I've not got a problem with Brendan Rodgers calling out some of his players when he doesn't think it's good enough. I think, he, as Marv says, he'll have that relationship that he's comfortable with doing that, and he knows the reaction he's going to get off his players. And I think there'll be conversations in the changing room had with all the players that they didn't perform to the levels he's expecting to get a result at Dundee. And it was just a disappointing night for Celtic. And listen, we've got to give some credit to Dundee as well, because they played the game. They were very, very good. And as you said before, Gordon, they were right in Celtic's faces. They made it really difficult for them. But again, Brendan Rodgers will be looking for a little bit more from his team.
Is this a very small blip, James, or a worrying sign of things to come? What do you think?
I would say it's a blip, hopefully. Listen, I'm looking for the scattered gun, but you can't tell me that Trusty was the only one that had a bad game. Vickers has been slow the last couple of matches and all. He's gave the ball away, his passing's been bad, and Callum McGregor, fantastic player, he can have a bad night. Paulo Bernardo was nowhere near it. So if we can slate, if he's going to slate players and the Scales get slated for the Old Firm game, well, Trusty then should be trapped for Sunday and Scales brought back in. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. That's the way I look at it. If it's good for one, it's good for maybe, the second one.
Maybe overanalyzing this, but is that because, you know, to managers, some things are understandable, forgivable in a way, mm-hmm. like, you know, Cal McGregor's going to have the odd night, you know, and he's generally excellent. Paulo Bernardo's been really good, and you know, if your passing's maybe just not quite at it, or you know, he has a header that hits the bar, if it hits the underside of the bar and goes in, it's a different conversation. Do you think he's very specifically that message of Austin Trusty got bullied, that cannot happen again, you won't be able to stay in the team if that happens again? So is it
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Is it very pointed?
Yeah, it's more of a, like you say, a specific point in terms of saying that's exactly what happened. He did get bullied. You know, and if you're going to, you know, struggle when you come up against that kind of physical contact and players are in and around you, that's Scottish football. So yeah. you're not going to get away from that. And, you know, without being disrespectful, the lower you go in terms of the teams, the more physical they're going to get if they possibly can. So, yeah, it's not something he's going to be able to hide away from. You make perfect points with, you know, McGregor and Bernardo. Your passing can be off, you know. You can look a little bit sluggish because you played a lot of minutes in terms of McGregor, or, you know, Bernardo might give away the ball and not track back at certain times, or, say, miss the header, you know, it's just a couple of inches. But in terms of the physical side of the game, if you're not going to stand up to that in Scottish football, you know, you're going to struggle.
Thank you, James. Appreciate your time tonight. 01419511025. And we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We have reached that point in the night where the two pundits put their brains together and try and answer the teaser question sent in by you out there. That's the aim of the game on the full-time teaser. Always good fun. So a big thank you for this one tonight from Cameron McQueen, who sent it in. I like it. Very topical. It's Rangers v Aberdeen. It's Arsenal v Spurs. Can you name the last seven players to score for Rangers or Aberdeen and Arsenal or Tottenham? So they need to have done both, if that makes sense.
Sorry,
scored for both Rangers and Aberdeen, or scored for...
No,
right, okay.
They need to have scored for Rangers or Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And Arsenal or Tottenham.
Right.
Okay.
No. Harry Kane.
What? I'm quite confused. So, Rangers or Aberdeen, and then they have to have scored for Arsenal or Tottenham as well.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Oh, so
okay.
He scored them. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Defoe.
So just out of curiosity.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I thought you meant the last seven scorers in like Arsenal.
I didn't even.
That's what I thought. Sorry.
Ah,
mate.
Right. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Enough.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a rubbish question.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he did play for Aberdeen.
The last seven players to score for Rangers or Aberdeen and either Arsenal or Tottenham.
Defoe. Mm.
Yeah. Do you mean Defoe? Cammy, any that spring to mind for you?
Before he starts, Madison.
Yes.
But now over to Cammy.
No.
What do you mean no?
Okay. That's two. We'll think about that.
To be fair, that's not too bad because you don't have too much more to get. It's 2 of 7. I'm happy with that. And Cameron again, top man, thank you for the question. The address you need to send them in is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. And it really is up to you. Do you want to keep looking back on last night? Do you want to build up to events at Ibrox? You decide. 01419511025. Of course, you can tweet as well if you'd rather do that. Fire something over at Clyde SSB. Much easier to get on the phones and have a good old discussion about everything that's happening. We are, what, we half an hour away from kickoff at Ibrox, and you know, naturally the focus, because of where we are, would be sort of Rangers and Philippe Clement and fans. The Aberdeen story is just unbelievable. I just like the numbers. I like the fact that we've reached, they've played 22 now. So the first 11 games, no defeats. The next 11 games, no wins. I'd need a statistician to go and sort of go through it, but there can't have been a drop off like this. No. Ever.
No, no chance. No chance. Like, you're right, it's quite, I'll say amusing, that's probably not the right word, but to watch it unfold has been strange. Definitely, because as you said, you know, started the season so well, getting all the plaudits, and all of a sudden they just struggled week after week after week. I know a couple of the games during that first 11, you know, they got a couple of late winners that they probably shouldn't have got, that were undeserved, but that's football. You'd never expect them to go to the next 11. And listen, I was saying, you know, after three or four, five or six, you may be trying to hit the reset button, but I think at this moment in time, the players will be lacking confidence, definitely, and they just need that win now to kickstart their season again.
It's bizarre. Again, you'll as you say, you'll never see it. I said to you before, when was it when everyone was putting Stuart Kettlewell under pressure, their long run that they didn't have a win? We're now 11 games, potentially 12 tonight. Again, you look at the weekend, Ross Doohan makes a last-minute penalty save to actually get a point out of that game. So, yeah, that could be the turning point. You never know that they've taken confidence from that. That's a little bit of luck that's went their way. But, yeah, it's an incredible drop-off. You never seen it. It took so long for everyone to kind of buy into it. Are they challengers? Nobody wanted to say it. And then people started to see it, and then we've had this huge, huge drop off, and they just need the tide to turn.
Didn't lose a game, till late November. Wow. It's remarkable. Let's hear from Philippe Clement on the game tonight. He expects tonight will be nothing like the encounter at Pittodrie, where Aberdeen did run out 2-1 winners.
It will be two different teams. I think if you will see the starting 11 of the two teams, you will compare. So we need to look at ourselves, and if it's against Aberdeen or Celtic or another team or a European team, it's about us, what we need to do on the pitch and not to be busy with the others.
It is a fair point in terms of things that have changed. The Rangers team that night, Jack Butland not playing, Casanueiro not playing, Balogun not playing, Suter, Tavernier, Barron, so Raskin is still in, McCausland, Lawrence, Barami, Dessers. 10,
wow.
10 of the Rangers team that played in that defeat at Pittodrie are not playing tonight.
What was the date of that game?
The 30th of October.
Wow, yeah, that's
unbelievable.
Yeah, that's almost as crazy a stat as the Aberdeen one in terms of not winning the last 11.
Egerman came on, and so did Hadji, and so did Jeffty, right? But I mean, just remarkable. By the way, Aberdeen, there's some changes in there as well. Nowhere near as many as that, but that's just... It shows how things have changed, because clearly Rangers' main men now are Egerman, Cherny, Hadji, etc.
Yeah, definitely they are the main men. And you know, Philippe Clement will be relying on them today to make sure Rangers do win this game of football. But as Clement says, you know, it is a lot of changes. It's a totally different game. You know, Aberdeen are in a totally different form. But you know, playing at Ibrox, he'll have full confidence in his players and expect them as well to go out there and win this game of football. We know it's not going to be easy, because as Cammy said, at some point it has to change. You know, Aberdeen don't turn into a bad team overnight. Yeah, they might be lacking a little bit of confidence and down their luck and starting to feel sorry for themselves, but it only takes, you know, a good 45 minutes, because all of a sudden, you know, things start coming back towards you. So, you know, Rangers and Philippe Clement won't want that to happen tonight, and they need to make sure that doesn't happen by, you know, starting the game well, because equally, if they do start the game well, I think, you know, Aberdeen will kind of be there for the beating if Rangers can get a goal ahead early.
The thing for Philippe Clement, Cammy, is, you know, there are no issues at home, so...
No.
He's got an extremely good home record this season against a team that can't win anywhere currently. But is he still in a position where, you know, to state the obvious, we should acknowledge that it's still just a game of football. It's still just 90 minutes. Rangers might play brilliantly, but just hit the woodwork five times. Aberdeen might get a set piece or a refereeing decision or a mistake. Are we still in that scenario where we're one draw, even if it's an undeserved draw, is back to, you know, almost kind of crisis mode for Philippe Clement?
Yeah, I feel it's just teetering all the time at the moment. He needs to put a really good run together. So again, for me, you can't afford to drop points, whether it's through circumstances, a refereeing decision, whatever happens tonight. They need to win the game of football. He needs to start to build momentum, consistent winning games of football. He needs to show that he can do that. And again, you've got to beat the top teams in your league as well. Aberdeen are one of the top teams. Yes, they're on a terrible run at the moment. But again, as Mar said and I said it before, they are a good side. They've got good players, so they're a huge threat tonight to Rangers. But it's all about Rangers tonight. They've got a brilliant home record, so there's nothing that tells me that Aberdeen are going to take any points away from Ibrox tonight.
Okay, let's go to Tony and look back on last night again with Tony. How are you? You all right?
I'm good. I'm very good, Bill. I'm good.
What made you call then? What about last night?
So, I'm a 65-year-old guy that's full of football all my days. I've got a couple of points regarding your two, the boy, the goalkeeper and Big Marvin, right? To be a supporter in that ground last night, goalkeepers don't really know what football really is.
I agree.
Amazing.
Me too.
I love Tony already.
Well, keep them coming, Tony.
At one time, they used to command the box.
I never done that, so don't worry about that.
I know you never.
Love it.
At one time, they used to defend the six-yard box, right? The last couple of seasons, they've been good goalkeepers, right? But that's just one thing. Now, Scottish football, you've got to have players to play the Scottish game, right? You've got to be able to toughen up and put a tackle in. You can play all the football you want, but you need a digger that can win the game for you. Now, Celtic go 1-0 up, inside a couple of minutes, 10 minutes, they lose a goal. They go 2-1 up, inside a minute, they lose the second goal. Right, and then after that, in fairness to Dundee wanted it more than Celtic. So they score the third goal, and Celtic then come, and the Celtic support then, panic. Now, why Rodgers made three substitutions, Luke McCown went off the park, Luke McGowan goes off the park, the boy Bernardo goes off the park, and whoever else went off the park, I can't think. So he replaced him with Atati, he replaced him with Ingles. Oh, Biggie Doug went off the park, mm-hmm. Right? So instead of replacing, in my opinion, instead of putting the boy Kenny on when we need something up front, because there's nothing up front. The wee man Kyogo's playing well on the right wing. He plays him in the middle when Aida goes off the park, and Kyogo gives us nothing. It's not Kyogo that doesn't give us nothing. It's the Celtic players don't give Kyogo anything, right? So, and then he takes Taylor off. Now, Taylor comes from Gourock, right? That's where I'm from. So I come back from the game last night, and I put on the television last night and I watched the game. We're not hard enough. We've got no lead. Callum McGregor's a great player. But I don't think we're hard enough.
I suppose, though, Tony, the other side of it is they're hard enough to be 16 points clear tonight as we sit here, aren't they?
Yeah.
Is that where it is difficult? You know, what more?
No. We're 16 points clear. We're 16 points clear for the simple reason is that we're playing the Scottish League that another team's not. So we go to Europe on Wednesday night. That's my big thing. I've been following for too many years. Right, we go to Europe. Is it the same team is going to play on Wednesday night? Or where does it get? Because we're playing young boys who have lost X amount of games. We had the chance of qualifying with Bruges, and we couldn't do it. So I don't see this thing with Rodgers making three substitutions at the same time.
That's quite common now though, isn't it? Just when you've got so many options on there in the bench, Marvin, and players can all come and go, and you get to that magic hour mark. Managers used to make one change on the hour, mm-hmm. and sometimes now they make three if the games aren't going their way. Look, I thought Tony was talking about domestically at the start. He says he means more Champions League, but when you say, you know, they're not hard enough for what? Because they are hard enough for the Scottish Premiership. I mean, they are. There's a way of telling, and it's the league table. Does that mean that you are so hard that you will never, ever, ever have any dropped points? Probably not. I think that's ambitious. So Celtic do raise their own bar, and then you have to try and keep living up to that or maybe surpass it. And I know that's challenging, but it must be difficult. You know, if you're Brendan Rodgers as an example, we kind of touched on this with the St Mirren game. It's not that he's not allowed to be criticised, but you wonder how much better they could be.
Yeah, exactly that. They, you know, they failed to win only four games in this whole season, drawing three and losing one. And, you know, Tony's talking about the subs that were made yesterday. Engels comes on and scores a goal. Hatate and Nicholas Kuhn comes on the pitch. So, you know, if you bring all three substitutes, I don't think any Celtic fan looked at those subs being made yesterday and thought, what are you doing? But football is a game, you know, of opinions, and at times it can be extremely fickle. But Celtic are in a comfortable position. Yes, they're going to have a drop off. That is football. You know, there's not a single player on this planet that can go through every single game mm-hmm. and be at the top of their game all the time. So I get it. In terms of like being hard, I've played against Celtic, and you try and be physical against them, you can't get close to them. No, 99% of the time, you cannot get close to them. And I was lucky enough to be at Livingston, where we beat them. But it was backs against the wall, and we got lucky. Yes, Dundee performed extremely well yesterday, but if it was as simple as being physical against Celtic, you're going to win.
Because you're the dodgem.
Oh, exactly. Like trying to run into them. Trying to run into McGregor, trying to run into all of them. But it's not that simple, because at times, they just outplay you.
To be fair, though, Young Boys is round the corner, with Aston Villa still to come in. And that then is something tangible, Cammy. So if Celtic were to not progress from this phase of the Champions League, then there would be serious question marks, because the good work's almost done already in the league.
Yep, and again, that's where the Young Boys game becomes, it's the perfect game if you look at it in a positive light, that if you were to pick any team that when you're not hitting top form in the Champions League, you would take Young Boys at home. But again, they've not won a game that the pressure then heaps onto you. You're expected to go and steamroller them and win that game of football. Yeah, that's what I said before. I think that the bigger picture for me is that Celtic try and build momentum, because they're now coming back into the Champions League stuff, and they need to get to top level again.
Thank you very much to Tony. We are going to go back to Ibrox very soon. So quickly, your teaser. Can you name the last seven players to score for Rangers or Aberdeen and either Arsenal or Tottenham? So you got Jermaine Defoe, so scored for Rangers, obviously, in Tottenham. Who else did you get?
Madison, yeah.
Scored for Aberdeen and Tottenham. Any others?
You can join in, or?
Struggling.
Come on, this is right up your street.
Aaron Ramsey.
Remember, I'll never forget, you were on the night that Aaron Ramsey signed for Rangers.
I'll pull the poster down after.
You told everyone he was going to be the best signing Scottish football had ever seen.
I thought he was going to be brilliant.
Any more?
Failed to live up to it. Did Glenn Kamara score?
Nope.
No.
I'll give you some thinking time, and we will go back to Ibrox next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are very close to kick off at Ibrox, the visit of Aberdeen and everything that goes into that fixture tonight. So much intrigue. We'll go back there in just a second. Let me check in on your teaser tonight. Can you name the last seven players who've scored for Rangers or Aberdeen and either Arsenal or Tottenham? So you've got Aaron Ramsey, James Maddison, Jermaine Defoe. Any others?
Cranshaw.
Nico Cranshaw, yes. Three to get. I will tell you they are all former Rangers players.
Pedro Mendes.
Yes. Which means only two to get. Gabriel is at Ibrox. Gabriel is from Aberdeen and supports Arsenal, so he is not allowed to take part in tonight's teaser. But Gabriel, maybe just remind us of the teams.
Yeah, Gordon, I'll remain tight-lipped with that teaser. Let the boys get it. But the teams both unchanged from their weekend games. Rangers, Liam Kelly in goal. Ridvan Yilmaz, Robin Proper, Clinton Insiala and Jefty at the back. Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamande in midfield. With Vaclav Cherny, Danilo and Yanis Hadji, the three behind Hamza Igerman, James Tavernier and Leon Balogun are back amongst the substitutes. Jimmy Tallinn names the same 11 from the Hearts game with Ross Duhan in goal. Nicky Devlin, Sivert Nilsson, Christos Tobers and James McGarry at the back. Ante Palamursa, Graham Shinney and Leighton Clarkson in midfield. Jeppe Okels, Topi Keskinen are out wide. Kevin Nisbet leads the line. Two new players on the bench for the Don today in the shape of Dorrington and Jensen.
Just on the Rangers bench, Gabriel, I wonder if there's a little bit of intrigue there. I know we always focus very much on the starting 11s, but a couple of absentees from the Rangers bench. No Kieran Dowell, no Oscar Cortez, and no Rabi Matondo, is that right?
Yeah, those are the three notable absences, Gordon, who were on the bench at the weekend and have been peripheral figures, whether it's been through selection or injury for Philippe Clement. But it's strange with the Rabi Matondo and Oscar Cortez, the only two natural left-wingers in this side. And if neither of them can get in the matchday squad, perhaps it says something about what Clement thinks of those two players. He has included some youngsters, the likes of Bailey Rice and Zach Lovelace, along with Ross McCausland. That's something Clement says is going to happen a lot more over the remainder of the season. So perhaps it's just a nod, Gordon, to the 2025-26 season.
Look, they could be injured, there's no big deal. But Philippe Clement didn't mention them as being injured. So there's a lot that you could read into that. It's January. Does it mean Rabi Matondo maybe could go somewhere? Rangers have got an obligation to buy Oscar Cortez as well. So
I was going to speak about Oscar Cortez. I was at the game on Sunday. For me, when he came on as sub, he didn't do enough. His energy, his work rate he brought to the team, he just didn't do enough. Again, going forward, and I can accept players losing the ball or not producing quality, but going back the pitch, you need to track back. It just didn't, for me, certainly sitting in the stand, looking at the game, I felt as if he didn't do enough. And whether that's a reflection of what Philippe Clement's seen and not put him in the squad, but that's just my opinion.
Again, on the face of it, Rangers fans, I think, will be happy, Marvin. Everyone wants to see young players. Philippe Clement said he was going to make Bailey Rice a full member of the first team squad. He then wasn't in the squad at the weekend and he was asked about it. And he said, you know, he didn't think it was the right moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's in that squad tonight. So's Zach Lovelace. And those three sort of more senior options are not there. Do you read anything into that?
Yeah, I do. You know, going off Cammy's kind of scout report, then that's an obvious one for me as to why he's not in the squad. You know, sometimes you know, managers are picking squads. Sometimes reputation has to go out the window, because if you're not performing, then you're no good to the team, and you're no good to the manager. He can't rely on you. And it also shows the younger players that, listen, regardless of if someone's, you know, obligation to buy them or Matondo, who's reported to be on a lot of money, if they're not performing, then you'll get your opportunity. So I think it's a good thing. I think it, you know, kicks everyone into line to say that, listen, there's some young players now chomping at the bit. And as you said, you know, we love seeing homegrown players, so it can only be a positive.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of looking at the bench, just if there are any clues about the future. Clearly, it's all about the here and now for Rangers and Aberdeen. I'm going to guess not, Gabriel, but any sign prior to kick-off? I mean, I take it the crowd numbers are kind of where they would usually be. Any sign of banners or protests or anything of that ilk?
Nothing quite yet, Gordon. The Union Bears are packed out in their usual position just behind the goal in the Copeland stand. At the stadium, packing out, not quite yet full, but that is the case usually for these midweek games. People get in here on the subway and on the train. So I'd expect it to be close to capacity by kickoff. We've not seen anything yet, but perhaps a banner before the game, during the game. I wouldn't expect another walkout, but we would expect all the crowd to be behind the team. We'll have to see if they criticise the board and the manager yet again.
Just do what Marvin does and come 5 minutes after the event starts. That'd be the best way of doing it. Just, you know, just walk in whenever you like. Thank you to Gabriel. Whatever happens there, you can stay in tune with all the latest over at Clyde SSB on Twitter. You can get post-match reaction and so on. And then, of course, tomorrow night we will go through it all, whether it is a Rangers win, as most people would predict, an Aberdeen win eventually, ending that long winless run, or somewhere in the middle, which would certainly, I think, suit Jimmy Tallinn's side more than Philippe Clement's. So looking forward to it. What about your teaser to round us off tonight? who are the last seven players to score for Rangers or Aberdeen and either Arsenal or Tottenham. So you've got Aaron Ramsey, James Maddison, Jermaine Defoe, Nico Kranjčar, Pedro Mendes.
Struggling.
What if one of them was the manager of one of the four teams that was mentioned? And Gio. And Ange Postecoglou. He's still the manager of one of those four teams.
Oh, of course, Arteta.
Mikel Arteta, yes.
Yes.
And other one, maybe didn't score that many. That's probably why, forgetting it, right back. Scottish right back, Rangers, Spurs, Aston Villa.
Oh, Hutton. Alan Hutton.
Yes.
Alan Hutton. Did he score? Wow, it must have been an own goal.
Thank you very much to Cammy Bell and Marvin Bartley. And thank you. Thanks for all your calls, your tweets, and to those of you who just listen patiently and shout at your radio about how much nonsense we talk. We even appreciate those as well. We are back 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll speak to you then.